Blog Talk Radio.
Them a Mickey. Let's get into it. Urban Therapy with Sun 752. With this, the Urban Therapy with Sun show. We do this every single Saturday from 1 p.m. till around 2:30-ish. And the reason that we say 2:30-ish is because sometimes it gets so heated that we just have to do a little OT on a Saturday. And it is Saturday. This is the show where adults come out and play with other adults. We laugh, we cry, we argue, fuss and fight, go back and forth with each other, bust it up all crazy. We take an introspective look into our own personality to see the way that the universe projects us into this thing called the world and try to figure out this thing called life. I am your host, Sun 752, aka Omar with the rrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrr, well then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun show. I'm feeling like a real man should, and I hope y'all feeling like real men and women should also. So today we are talking about the accident that changed everything for good. Everything. Not only may you have been scared to do certain things or hesitant to do certain things in a certain type of way, but this may have changed you for good. I'm going to start off with the first example. Now, you may have been in a fire before. Maybe you didn't actually get caught in the fire. You may have been able to escape, but you may have lost a lot of things in a fire. But you may know somebody who actually got burned in a fire and lost, you know, and their skin, you know what I mean? Their skin was burned, and for some people, plastic surgery couldn't put it back the way that it was before. So let's say you burned half of to three quarters of your whole body in a fire. You know, that's going to show. You're going to look different. Not saying, I know people who have visible burned skin, but they're still good looking. Like some people have had most of their body burned, but it didn't burn their face. They got lucky. Some people I know had their face burned, but they still got some type of reconstructive surgery done, and they still look good. The thing is, to other people who knew them before, even though they look good, they look great to new people, and they may look great, period, but they don't look the same as they were before they got burned. Michael Jackson, in that Pepsi commercial, they played down how serious of a burn he had, you know, with his hair getting burned. And a lot of people believe that after Michael Jackson after his hair got burned, that's when he really started to be different. That's when he really started to get on the wanting to look white thing and all of that. And it's also, a lot of people say that's when he started to use drugs. So that's when, you know, the pain from the hair being burned or whatever, they said that's when he started to use. Now, a lot of people didn't know this, that he ever used, or that's when he started. But that's what a lot of people believe. So was he it's hard to say that we can't say that he was visibly different because his hair got burned, because he still looked the same to us. But we know that later on his appearance really, really underwent a lot of changes. Could it be because of the burn? We can't say. But he definitely was changed for good after that Pepsi commercial. Now, that's easy for me to say, that y'all might say, like, you didn't know him personally, and you're right. So I can only go off of the accounts of people who did know him personally, and also for cats who were really big fans of his, who may have done their research about the kind of man that he was before and after, before, after, during, or whatever. You know, but that's an example that we can point to that a lot of people know. Another similar example to that was Richard Pryor. Remember, Richard Pryor was freebasing cocaine and burned himself. Now, they say that Richard was actually trying to commit suicide. You know, the press kind of kept that on the low. Well, his publicist must have told him, like, no, we don't want to go there. Now, it would have been different if you actually went through with it and committed suicide, but because you got burned and you lived through it and you decided to go on living, we have to do some damage control. So, but Richard Pryor was visibly different looking than he was before he got burned. You look at Richard Pryor's face, and which way is up? Look at his face and Busting Loose. He still looked like a younger man. Where after he got burned, you could kind of see the structure of his face, and his skin was different. Now, we might have thought that it was because he smoked cigarettes. You know how people who smoke cigarettes for a long time, they get the crater face. We may have thought it was because of that, but that it was more than that. It was bigger than that. This is bigger than hip, hop. But Richard Pryor definitely was a different person. Comically, personally, as an actor, he was different after he burned himself. Very different. Because, I mean, people had to ask, like, how do you burn yourself up freebasing cocaine? What, are you smoking kerosene? It really doesn't work that way. And yes, there is a difference between freebasing cocaine and smoking crack. There is a big difference. And the big difference between freebasing cocaine and smoking crack is crack doesn't have to be freebased. It's already pre-made. It's already rocked up when you get it. When you freebase cocaine, you use powder cocaine. And the way that you prepare the pipe for the freebasing is different. So it costs a lot more to freebase cocaine than it does to smoke crack. That's why crack was so popular. It was a way to get to get a more powerful jolt and blast than freebasing cocaine. And with freebasing cocaine, there is a point to where you do not want to freebase anymore. Like, you can freebase so much with powder cocaine, you like, all right, man, I'm high, I'm good, I'm cool for the night. I don't need no more. That's not the case with crack. With crack, you will smoke until there's no more money, no more resources, no more left to steal, no nothing. You will be up for days and days and days and days. That was the difference between crack and freebase. And I learned that from a straight crackhead. He was like, no, I used to freebase cocaine. When I couldn't afford that no more, I went to crack. Crack gives you the same high. Well, actually, it gives you a more powerful high, but there is no end game. You will smoke, sell the TV, smoke, rent out the house, smoke, let them tear your crib into a crack house, smoke. Different. All right, so we're talking about the accident that changed everything for good. Everything, your physical appearance, the way that you think, the way that you feel, the way that you stink. What's going on, my brother from another mother, Norris Hills, sit back, relax, do your thing, Max, chill, and T. Carry Wright, morning, noon, and night. It's always great to have my people going directly into your sight, my brother, Ansel Jones, Baltimore, brothers, girl, can't leave them alone, and Emily, Emily, Dunlap is in the house, wow, she's about to turn it out. What's going on, y'all? How y'all feeling today? So we're talking about that accident that changed everything for good. I mean, we get into accidents, man. It's really tragic when a child gets into a bad accident. A child. So they grow up with some type of disability. And it makes you wonder how they would have looked or done things had they not had that bad accident. Let's say, I don't know about y'all, but I knew children who got hit by a car while riding on a bike. You know, getting hit by a car while you riding a bike is actually worse than getting hit head on, because you already attached to the bike, so you can't get free. It's a bad situation. But, you know, it leaves some people crippled for the rest of their lives. They could have been in a coma for a while. They could have been in a wheelchair for a while for the rest of their lives. Maybe they were paraplegic. God forbid that they were quadra. Now, I mean, we talk about people quadriplegic. Look at Christopher Reeve riding horses, Superman, and a horseback riding trip turned him in. What was it, kryptonite? Quadriplegic for the rest of his life. Teddy Pendergrass, bad car accident, riding in the car with a tranny. Quadriplegic for the rest of his life. And not only was he different as far as his physical appearance and what he was able to do, but them songs, I mean, you know, rest in peace, Teddy P. But you know, them songs were way more spirited when he was 100% healthy and walking this earth. You know, he had to slow it down, tone it down. His voice wasn't the same. When you're quadriplegic, you don't have control over any of your muscles. So although he sounded good, but he wasn't the same singer as he was. You know what I mean? He was, get up. Get down, get funky, get loose. Turn them off. Let's get cozy. You know, but come on, man. You know, Teddy was aggressive. He was aggressive. His voice was aggressive. You got what I need. Even when he was with Harold Melvin in the Blue Notes. You know? Bad love. That's what you got. But anyway, he wasn't the same. He couldn't make songs like that no more. It almost is kind of crazy. Because, you know, he made Field of Fire after he was quadriplegic. But he was making disco songs. He was making upbeat tempo songs before. He couldn't do that anymore. He could have possibly wrote some songs like that, but it wouldn't have fit the... Maybe he was encouraged not or discouraged from doing that because, like, you making dance records, but you can't. I think they should have, you know, encouraged them to go ahead and do the dance records. I mean, it's only a beat. It's a beat and, you know, it's the music and go ahead and do your thing. Narcel says Curtis Mayfield. Man, I was listening to Superfly yesterday. Curtis Mayfield. I mean, you know, we're talking about the days when the credits used to say written, produced, composed. Do you know what it means to compose a song? Composed. That means you did all the musical arrangements. And you can tell the difference in a song that was composed versus a song that was just written and produced. Written and produced, when you write and produce a song, you don't do the vocal and musical arrangements. You don't chime in the horns at a specific time. You don't time the percussion in a certain type of way. You don't make sure that you bring in the harps and flutes and you know, it's just when you listen to Curtis Mayfield, I mean, and this is just a Superfly album. That was some gangster music, but it was fucking, I'm listening, I'm like, you hear this shit? And that was back in the day when it was on vinyl. You listen to that shit in digital, it's like, yo, he did this. But Curtis Mayfield spent most of the rest of his life in a coma. Bad accident. What happened? What happened to Curtis Mayfield? What happened? Let's see. And I guess we gotta talk about Jackie Wilson. Same thing. Jackie. I'm on. What happened to Curtis Mayfield? Paralyzed from the neck down.
Oh,
he was quadriplegic.
According to FantasticFacts.net, following an accident in 1990, Curtis Mayfield was paralyzed from the neck down. He then discovered that he could sing phenomenally lying down while gravity pulled on his chest and lungs. He was able to record an album and release it in the late 90s.
I didn't realize it was all the way 1990 when he got hurt. Okay. All right, wait a minute. He died in 99. Okay, a 1990 on-stage accident left Mayfield fully paralyzed, but his career was far from declined. In 1996, Mayfield's New World Order was nominated for 3 Grammy Awards and a duet. I
Well, what happened to him on stage?
Mm-hmm.
Well, but yeah, definitely not the same. Definitely not the same. You know, cats had to try to do the best that they could. Okay, wait a minute. 57 years old. It's not very old. It's not very old. We knocking on that door right now. We're like, oh, chill, son, chill. Do. All right. But yeah, that accident that changed everything for good. You know, we know people. We know people that this kind of thing has happened to. Okay. I'm sorry. My bad. He said he wasn't in a coma. His final album, New World Order, was made 3 years before his death. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they said. Oh, scaffolding collapse. Scaffolding collapse on him. People have died on stage, man, on some Owen Hart shit. The Trouble T. Roy. Yeah, but yeah, that accident that changed everything for good. You know what I'm saying? How many of us know people who were in the were in motorcycle accidents? Sometimes, man, motorcycle accidents. First of all, you know how dangerous it can be to ride a motorcycle. Period. But when you are in a motorcycle accident, like you don't have that all that metal around you like you in a car to contain you in the vehicle and take your chances that way. You just fly from the bike and whew, taking the test, abacab and passing. I don't know what that test is. Emily says, can't learn karate now because my left knee and right ankle. Yeah, because you was in a bad car accident, right? Car accidents, man. Car accidents, just being able to drive a car or sometimes ride in a car after a bad car accident, it can be very traumatizing to people, man. I mean, major. I know a lot of people who have been messed up from car accidents. People who had to fight their way back, learn to walk again, learn to use certain body parts again. Like Emily says, can't learn karate. You can still learn karate, you just can't perform it. Hachi-dachi! Ha! You said you're right because you're, wait. Because your left knee and right ankle? Oh, yeah. Won't be a whole lot of kicking. Won't be a whole lot of kicking for you. You can still kick it, though, Emily. You can still kick it. Make sure y'all hit that like button, y'all. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show, and we are talking about that accident. That accident that changed everything for good. That one that took you a while to come back from. That one that sticks in your mind that you would never want to repeat again. That's what we're talking about today. If y'all would like to call into the show, I invite you to call in. And the number to call is area code 319-527-6199. That's the number to call. I said a 319-527-6199. Yes, y'all. 319-527-6199. Yeah, get on the line. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get your shine. 319-527-6199. Press number 1, and that will let me know that you would like to speak, and then I will call you back, call you out on the last, I mean, by the last 4 digits of your telephone number. You can rock on and do the damn, do the damn thing. This is the Urban Therapy Science Show. Okay. Okay, okay, okay. Emily says, my accident changed mostly everything. Wow. And so she says, being cheated on, and she said it was an accident. Well, what did that change, Ansel? It might not have changed the way she looked, but it sure changed the way you looked at her, ain't it? I mean, didn't it? She not looking the same, man. She not looking the same. Damn, Emily says, I can't do my hair because of limitations with my left arm as to why I wear braids and crochet. Okay. A broken dial. Poor thing. Poor thing. No, I tell my son, she was laying there and I accidentally slid inside of her. Y'all gotta chill. I got a chair, son. You got a chair. Okay. The answers were A, B, A, C, A, B, B. Guessing on the test and passing. But when we talk about an accident that changed everything for good. Going back to what I was talking about with Richard Pryor was actually trying to commit suicide. And I know people who have committed suicide or attempted to commit suicide and lived through it. And they was fucked up for good after that. My man jumped out a window, second floor window. I mean, I remember he kept trying to say, after I fell out the window, your big ass can't fall out no window. You're like 6'2", 260. You ain't falling out no window. He jumped out a window for some reason. He had a bad heroin addiction. And after that, definitely not the same. He lived through it. He was hospitalized. He was on parole, so he had to get himself out of the hospital before his PO and all that came and found out that he was in the hospital and start asking questions. Like, what was his alcohol blood count when he was admitted, and were there any drugs in his system? Because you know they check for all of that, and all that's recorded. So he checked himself as soon as he got well enough to be able to leave the hospital. He left and went home. His voice was never the same. He was never the same. He was different, but his voice was like, you know, he used to be like, yo, you know, like, he didn't talk like that before. And that's happened with other people. Now, hold on. Before I get on other people. Now, You look at suicide, a suicide attempt. Is the accident, I'm asking your opinion. If you attempt suicide and don't die and decide not to attempt it again, was the suicide the accident, or was the accident not completing the suicide? Think about that for a while. I'm interested to know y'all perspective on that. You know, because, like I said, my man was trying to, he called himself killing himself, and it didn't work. But he did splat outside of that damn sidewalk. And that was in 2002. And He was different as hell after that. He died in 2010. And I believe he died from a heroin overdose, although they tried to kind of say that he died of a heart attack. My man still had a lot of parole time to walk off. So, yeah. But he, his motivation, everything was different after that. And from banging heroin so long, he used to bang it in his leg. His leg was really dead. He had a dead leg. It was just a mess. But he was never the same. He was never the same. Norris says, I think the accident was surviving the attempt. I would probably go there. Because you meant to do something that didn't work out. It's amazing that you choose to go on a little bit longer. Because if your life was out of control and unbearable to the point where you attempted suicide in the first place, and then you lived through it, and now you're even now physically fucked up to go along with your mental and emotional, but let's just say emotional trauma that led you to suicide in the first place. You know, that's hard on the soul, baby. Hard on the soul. So somebody like me, it makes me wonder, well, were they stronger for surviving the attempt or stronger for not attempting a suicide again? But I've known people who attempted suicide, came back from it, lived longer, committed suicide successfully. So that accident that changed everything for good. Violence in the Streets, Beanie Siegel, the popular Philly rapper, the Broad Street Bully. He don't look like he bullying nothing no more. A mere shell of himself. Now they say that he's starting to get his voice back because he lost a whole lung. Got shot by some cats in Jersey. Probably gang members. See, we don't have Bloods and Crips in Philly. We may have people who call themselves Bloods and Crips, but we don't have factions. We don't have like South Philly Bloods or Crips. We don't have that. But when you go to Jersey, they have that. They got all of that. So Beans always trying to play the tough guy. Somebody lit his ass up. Just keeping it real. Lit his ass up. And he definitely is nothing like he was. Where he used to knock motherfuckers out, he wound up getting knocked out. He's not as strong as he used to be. Not as big as he used to be. He's definitely not as threatening and as imposing as he used to be. His voice, he had a distinctive rap voice before. Now it's just like, it's like a whisper. And they say it's getting a little bit better, but I don't, it ain't where it should be. Same thing happened with 50 Cent. Even though 50 Cent still has a voice, 50 Cent sounds nothing like he did. He sounds nothing like he did. Well, okay, I shouldn't say he sounds nothing like he did before he got shot, but he sounds different because of the way his mouth moves. He's unable to open up his mouth the way he used to be able to before he got shot. And he got shot 9 times, basically mostly in the leg, but he did take one or two in the face. So Fifty used to be kind of chubby dude. After, I guess, liquid diets and stuff like that, working out when he got shot. You know, remember, he was looking, you know, pumped up and real fit and all of that kind of stuff. Now that he's putting on weight and it's older man weight, he's looking more like he looked before he looked muscular. He didn't used to look like that. In the 90s, 50 Cent didn't look like that. He had body fat. A lot of it. Like 50 chicken wings. So, performers or whatever, people that we know that got shot and their physical appearance is different. Not going to be the same. Never going to be the same. Voices, never the same. What's his name? The DOC. Bad car accident. Lost his voice. Voice will never be the same. DOC probably could have been a superstar. He would have been one of the pioneers that we was talking about for a long time. That first album was all that. The Doc and the Doctor. It's getting funky. It's getting funky. He had the total package. He had the look. He had the voice. He had the energy. He had the crew, the backing. One album, that DOC album was all that. And he got into that car accident, fell asleep at the wheel. Damn, I mean, he's lucky to be alive, really. But he'll never sound the same. His voice sounds, I mean, that shit sounds crazy. It's hard to even describe. No, I said, so that's where he came up with loving a girl like a fat kid would love cake, like a fat kid loves cake. Yeah, 50 wasn't, let me see. Damn. Let's see. What did 50 Cent look like before he got shot?
According to TextureNCH.com.
What did 50 Cent look like before he got shot?
According to CapitalExtra.com, 50 Cent was shot 9 times back in May 2000. The New York rapper picked up wounds in his hand, arm, hip, both legs, chest, and his face.
Do 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 do. Let me see images before. Okay. See if we can get some pictures of him before, like 1997, 98, 99. Yeah, I don't see any, okay, maybe let's try this. I put in 50 Cent in 1998. They still got the 2000 and something pictures. All right. They got a couple of... he looks different. You know what I mean? He's chubbier. But they all they also have pictures of actual 50-cent pieces. I'm like, all right, you know what? I can't. But anyway, it is what it is. But yeah, he was different after that. Now, you could say that after he got shot, he was different as far as an artist is concerned. He definitely built up his notoriety. His music got better. He linked up with Eminem and Dr. Dre or whatever. He blew up, started buying, you know, developing his own companies and the whole smart water thing. And now he's executive producing shows and TV shows. So I don't know if he was on his way to doing all of that before he got shot, but he definitely handled his BI afterwards. And so I'm dating the wrong people early in life. I'm not sure if that's an accident. A mistake and an accident, I don't know. But, yeah. You ever know anybody that got their teeth knocked out? Not necessarily by a punch. Like a skating accident. Car accident, or by getting hit in the face with a baseball bat. No, it says contracting a STD. Could that accident? Like I said, there's a difference between an accident and a mistake. Contracting an STD? I don't know. Like them cats out here. That contracted monkeypox, was that an accident? I don't know, son. I don't know. Contracting an STD. Y'all different today. I don't know what y'all talking about. I don't know what y'all talking about today. Y'all giving it up differently. That's different. Different. But yeah, that accident that changed everything for good. At least if it changes you physically for good, that means that you're still here. There used to be this newscaster named Jim O'Brien that used to broadcast on Channel 6 on ABC. He used to do little stunts. He used to do the weather. And one time he parachuted from a helicopter. And the parachute didn't open. He fell to his death. Jim O'Brien. Let me see. Probably find information on that. People really like the way he used to do the news. He was a good guy. Jim O'Brien, Action News. There you go. Jim O'Brien. Let me see. Yeah, he died in 1983. I remember that. That was crazy. Let's see. Through the sheer power of personality, ABC, 6 ABC Action News Weatherman connected with millions of viewers in the Delaware Valley. And even 35 years after the death, after his death in a skydiving accident on September 25th, 1983, O'Brien still has fans. Skydiving accident. Yeah, his parachute didn't open. I remember that shit. He didn't live through that. Ain't no leave. You know, Brian, you know, leave. Yep, failure. Hold on. See his Wikipedia. Let's get this thing. All right. All right. O'Brien had two favorite hobbies, motorcycle riding and skydiving. The later hobby led to his death in a skydiving accident on September 25, 1983, at the United Parachute Club near Gilbertsville, Pennsylvania. He and another skydiver jumping with him deployed their main parachutes during their during their descent under their open parachutes, they collided with each other and their parachutes became entangled. After they tried unsuccessfully to detach themselves from each other, O'Brien, an experienced skydiver, performed a standard skydiving emergency procedure called a cutaway. He jettisoned his main parachute and deployed his reserve parachute. However, by the time he performed the maneuver, he was already at such a low altitude that he struck the ground before the reserve canopy was able to inflate. The other jumper managed to use the entangled main parachutes to land safely. Now imagine how the other parachuter felt. Can you imagine that? He probably had all kinds of survivor's remorse. Like, it should have been me instead of Jim. Well, if you didn't use both of those parachutes to land, it would have been you instead of Jim. You chose you. I can't blame you. No, it says that's more like rolling the dice, contracting an STD. I ain't messing with y'all. Y'all over there talking about mistakes. We talking about accident. You know what I mean? Y'all ain't throwing me off today. But yeah, that accident, that changed everything. That accident. No, Ansel. No. Like I said, that's a mistake. But now, we know that being in a fire can mess you up really bad, but drowning in an accident can mess you up too. Let's say you almost drowned, you almost fully drowned in a swimming accident or whatever. But you were resuscitated. But they could have resuscitated you back after you lost so much oxygen to the brain that you could have been in somewhat of a vegetative state for the rest of your life. It happens. And it happens to people. And, you know, I don't know if y'all have ever dealt with anybody in a coma or, you know, somebody on life support or whatever. It's tough. It really is tough. You know, it says witnessing a fatal car accident or knowing someone that didn't survive one. James Dean, he didn't survive it. Cliff Montgomery, he didn't survive it. Princess Diana and Dodi Fayed, they didn't survive it. People die in car accidents all the time. But some of the people who live through car accidents be messed up. How about people who have had a Mickey slipped in on them? They slipped my man a Mickey. And from then on, he was never the same. Slipped my man a Mickey. After that, he was bugging. And I don't mean acting crazy. He was full body. Now, is slipping somebody a Mickey, we can't say it was a mistake because you meant to slip them the Mickey. You slipped in a Mickey in a drink, or you did something to the weed or whatever drug y'all were messing around with that messed them up. And that's a dirty thing to do to a person. It really is. That is a horrible, horrible, dirty, nasty, despicable thing to do to somebody. Slip somebody a Mickey. And I knew so many people who that happened to, and they never was the same. I really think that happened to my man up in Chicago when he went away to school. He was never the same after that. He's still not. I'll never get my boy back. I will never get my man's back. And that was my man. But he's gone for good. There were times I thought I was getting him back a little bit. No way. He's gone. Going, gone. No, it says somebody slipped a fatal Mickey to, the average white band drummer. In the entertainment industry, we got drugs, man. Drugs. Of course, when somebody gets really hurt that we care about, we feel that. So we're never the same either. So we've been changed for good. We've been changed for good. We're not the same, man. We're not the same. That accident that changed everything for good. Couldn't come back. How many people y'all know that don't walk the same, or they walk with a limp now? How many people do y'all know that was on their way to becoming maybe an Olympic gold medalist in running, and they can't do that no more? Track and field, there's so many things dealing with track and field. You might have been the greatest shot put. Or javelin. You know, you have to have upper body strength to be able to do those things. Shot put, young man. A heavy ass ball. It's funny that that's considered to be track and field, ain't it? Pole vault. You might have been on your way to be the greatest pole vaulter. Messed up your shoulder. You ain't doing no pole vaulting. You ain't doing no pole vaulting with a bad shoulder. And I'll tell you what. Y'all might get mad at me for saying this, but I'll tell you what. If you were an Olympic competitor and you get hurt to the point where you can't compete in the Olympics anymore, I think that you should be able to compete in the Special Olympics. I mean, you're disabled now. Why can't you compete in the Special Olympics? What? You got to be mentally, you got to be retarded to listen, you got broken bones, limbs messed up, tendons ripped. Why can't you compete in the Special Olympics? I mean, think about it. I think it would be fair. Personally, I think it would be fair if Olympians who got messed up, who had really bad injuries and can't compete on the Olympic stage anymore, if you're disabled for the rest of your life, you should be able to compete in the Special Olympics. Aren't they disabled for the rest of their lives? Aren't they? Very special. Babe, I just want to be special when I'm loved. Y'all gonna stop hating on me. That's what we gonna do. Y'all gonna stop hating on me. You should be able to compete in the Special Olympics if you are damaged or physically damaged and you have a disability which stops you from competing in the regular Olympics. And so Joe says, I ran track back in high school, and this guy never had no one that ran cross country against him. So he did train. Wait, what exactly are you trying to say? Are you saying that he was so good that nobody could compete against him? Like, I'm not sure what you're trying to say. Oh, until that day. Oh, you beat him. Okay, because I'm like, wait. Okay. So nobody could compete against him until you competed against him. Oh. Oh. I see. Yes, I see. Same.
That's the stuff.
But yeah, man. You get put out the pasture. You're not the same. You lose a limb, or you know, you lose the full use of one of your limbs, you know, arms, legs. Why can't you compete in the Special Olympics? I don't know.
The accident that changed everything for good. We was talking about people who died in the fire earlier, but there have also been people who didn't die in a fire, but they may have had to jump out of a window or whatever to avoid burning in a fire, and they may have injured themselves really bad.
you jump three or four stories up. You know what I mean? It's a hard fall. There's no telling what you might break. Telling. Yeah, you might really, really mess something up, and but it's really hard not being able to come back from injury. I got an older brother who was in a motorcycle accident, and it wasn't a fatal accident or anything like that. But he was like, "Yeah, one of my legs is longer than the other now. They had to cut out part of the bone." I'm like, "Dang, the accident was that bad?" He was like, "Yeah," and he stopped riding bikes too. Like, "No, I'm good. I'm all right. I'm cool." So I guess that was like a wake-up call for him. Got him up off of the bicycle. Motorcycle. Got him up off of there. But he was like, "Yeah, oh, I definitely walk different. One of my legs is definitely longer than the other one. I do not walk the same." And I know that he would try to play it off. Def Leppard's drummer lost an arm in a bus accident, but continued to play. "Pour some sugar on me." Because it's hysteria. Yeah, I like Def Leppard. I like Def Leppard. Especially the earlier stuff. "You're bringing on the heartbreak." Yeah, I like the early stuff. You know, that 80s metal was very popish. It was very popish. But they were good. They were good. Rock stars have been messing themselves up with drugs and all kinds of accidents since forever. Rappers get involved in street shit too much, which has a bad impact on their careers. They get shot up and all hurt. They get martyred because they got shot. They sell more records because they got shot. It's a mess. Super messy. Messy Marvin. You know, it says, "I have an ex that survived being electrocuted. I remember her being afraid to plug in things." Damn. Electricity ain't nothing to play with, man. It fries your whole inside. Electricity ain't nothing to play with. That's super, super serious. You don't want to play around with the... You don't want none of that. "We good?" I get my name, "We good?" "Yeah, we good." Yeah. Stuff like being electrocuted might be something that you may find it very hard to come back from if you've been burned severely. Because like I said, it's internal. You know, you burn all your organs out. They can't open you up and fix everything. Not on time, anyway. I almost wanted to start talking about cigarette smoking, but once again, that's a mistake. It's not an accident. You smoke too much you smoke cigarettes all your life, and you get lung cancer or whatever. But that wasn't an accident. You were smoking on purpose. Very much so. It was just a mistake that you never stopped long enough to give your lungs a chance to repair themselves and replenish themselves and get better. That smoking shit would definitely get you right where you don't want to be. All right. This is what we're going to do. We're going to go to these birthday shout-outs. We have some birthday shout-outs on this 6th of August. Yes, we do. I said we have some birthday shout-outs. We're going to shout them out. That's what we're going to do. All right. We have some birthday shout-outs. Some people were born on this glorious, glorious, glorious August 6th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-C. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-C. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-C. They get number one out the box, Charlene Monroe. And also Patricia Bright. Happy birthday to you. And LaShawn Sugar Hips Smith, turning 46 years old today. And also Malu M. Bate Bailan, happy birthday to you. And Stephanie Jean-Louis, turning 30 years old today. And Davis Tarawali, turning 31 years old today. And Oluyemi Yemisi, turning 36 years old today. And DJ Ubi, bye-bye, fam, boosh, la. Turning 27 years old today. And Thomas Felder, happy birthday to you. And last but not least, going all the way back to the 1987, my girl Darnella Nash, turning 53 years old today. I want to say happy birthday to all of y'all and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious, glorious, glorious. August 6th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally, all of y'all go ahead and turn up, but don't turn up too loud, just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. I rock out, rock on and do the damn, the damn, the rock out, rock on and do the damn, rock out, rock on and do the damn thing, you do your thing, y'all, represent the queens and kings, you do your thing, y'all, represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait, great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, check it out, Pete Gang. Yeah, 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 yeah. That accident that changed everything for good. It would be a great thing if we always came back from anything that ever happened to us. And that's really the goal, but it doesn't always work out that way. But nonetheless, getting into an accident where nothing will ever be the same again means that we have died in the life that we have lived, and we have to be born again into the life that we are going to lead after that. You know, strength comes to us involuntarily sometimes. Sometimes it comes to us, you know, whether we were ready to be strong or not, we still have to step up to the plate, do what we have to do, make it happen. And this is no different. Just remember that any accident that you have is not the end of your life, but there are plenty of accidents where they have ended people's lives. We need to be happy and blessed that that didn't happen to us. So I wish y'all to have a great day. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. I love y'all right back to life. To life. Bye, bye, bye. So, Blog Talk, I'm going to get you out of here. Yes, I will. I say, yes, I will. So, 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 so.